All right, I am back, or we are back, I should say. That music you're listening to is the is from our new favorite game, BioShock.
Oh, yeah.
That's the beginning of the BioShock music. They have that for download over at the Cult of Rapture.
Ooh, I need to go download that.
Yeah.
I saw that. I forgot about it. Now maybe I'll remember and go get it.
So I opened the show with that. But this is show number 241. I'm recording this... what's the date, E? I can't even figure out what the date is anymore.
It's going to be... the 20-something.
No,
August 20.
No, actually, E, it is it's September, E.
It is?
It's September 2nd.
Wait, how did that happen?
August is gone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the 20th. Yeah. We're going to hear about your party later on.
Okay. Yeah, I missed a couple of days, apparently.
But this is a show for recording it for August 2nd. It's show number 241. E
September
is...
September 2nd.
Gee, I did it again. I did it, too. Look, we're all screwed up. So, we haven't had a show in a couple weeks. Last week's show was the panel that I did at PAX, and you were in the audience for that.
We'll
talk about PAX in a little bit.
Yep.
And then the week before, I didn't have the show because I had family in town.
How'd that go?
That was good. We'll talk about that after.
Okay.
We can talk about it now if you want.
Actually say your name? We've interrupted ourselves like 5 times.
Have I?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Xbox Live's Major Nelson. I'm Larry Herb, and this is E.
Hey.
There we go. So I had my family in town. It's Labor Day this weekend.
Yes.
And you're going away.
I'm going away. And
you,
then
you go to where?
Eugene.
Oregon.
Yep. Oh, first home game of the football season.
You know, my my Syracuse Orange Men are playing against the...
I am actually rooting for your team this
so
weekend.
By the time this airs, the game will be over.
The game will be over. It's a Friday game.
Right. So it's going to be over. So.
Yep.
And in case you haven't seen the game, I don't want to spoil it, so...
Well, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
So you're going to Eugene. I've never been to Oregon.
The state or
the
stadium?
I've never been to the state.
It's like 3 hours from here.
That's you and I have talked about this before. I have a East Coast mentality where anything over 2 hours, I fly. Not going to sit in the car for 3 hours.
It's like you spend more time getting in and out of the airport than you do in the plane. It's not really worth it.
Yeah, but I can't for that. Why do I need to go to Oregon?
Actually, the reason you go to Portland, you'll appreciate this because you know the Strand.
Yes, I do.
In New York. My opinion, better than the Strand. Most people would say it's not quite as good, but really close. Powell's Bookstore in Portland, Oregon.
I've heard about that.
Powell's City of Books.
I've heard about that. Is it a city?
It is.
Does it have its own zip
code? It's literally a city block, the main store.
All right. How far is that away?
3 hours.
Yeah, I'm going to drive 3 hours for a bookstore.
Here's the important thing. They shelve new and used together. So you just, like, wander into the sci-fi section and start pulling books out, and you'll randomly find things like, wow, here's a first edition of Foundation and Empire.
Right.
And it's $3. It's
right.
Amazing.
So I'll go down for that. Maybe. So anyway, so you're where Labor Day is global, isn't it? So it's, for those of you outside of North America, it traditionally signals the end of summer in the United States.
Yeah.
Like everyone's getting their last, they're squeezing the last bit of sunshine out of the summer before basically they get into fall and get back to work.
They go boating or picnicking.
Out on Connecticut, we used to go out to like Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket or something like that. And
okay.
Now I'm not.
And if you're a football fan, this is opening weekend.
Yeah, this is it.
I think the stat I saw was 40 college games on TV this weekend.
So, is it really
something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, probably right.
So I'll be listening to games on satellite radio.
You have Sirius Radio, which carries all those games.
So I'll be listening on the way down. I'm going to a game. I'll be listening to the NFL on the way back, and then I'll be watching games I recorded on Monday.
So we got a lot of stuff going on in the show. This is a long show, as you can probably figure it out from the download. I have Jeff Minter on.
Whoop.
Who from Space Giraffe, which is your new favorite
Giraffe-tastic.
Kid. Giraffe-tastic. So Jeff is going to join us. I did an interview with the guys, some of the guys from that Halo worked on the Halo controller.
Okay. That did the graphics?
Yeah. Well, so it's kind of a funny story. In that these guys from our hardware team contacted me and said, hey, we want to come over. Let's talk about the Halo controllers. And I said, I'd love to. And they're going to give me some to give away in a future show. So we go to a conference room, and I bring my equipment. And, you know, when I do the interviews, I like it to be one-on-one.
Right.
Because for you, the listener, it's confusing when there's too many voices. They show up with 5 people. I'm like, what is going on here? I just want to talk to one of you guys. Who's in charge? So it's a little confusing. I tried to keep it as focused as possible.
Did they introduce themselves as, you know, hi, I'm D-Pad.
Yeah. Well, actually, you'll hear about that. Oh. I talked to the industrial designer about that. I on behalf of the community, I gave him some of what he needs to hear. So we've got that Medal of Honor interview. Have you downloaded that Medal of Honor Airborne?
I've downloaded the demo. It. I haven't actually played it yet.
You can parachute.
It's been busy.
You can parachute in.
You don't have plasmids.
And you're stuck underwater right now.
Really?
No, you are. In Rapture.
I was like, what? We're flooding!
Okay.
Like,
okay. Huh? Yeah, what?
I'm a little tired today.
So, last show we had on was the big BioShock extravaganza.
Yes.
Which, where we had the interview with Ken right after, literally as it launched, we put the show up.
And it was deserving of all the hype, let me tell you.
The demo, what's going on? What's going on with the demos? Everyone's having problems with downloading demos.
Making sure that, you know, a million people can get a copy of a 1 gig file simultaneously is hard.
Okay. I respect that.
Most people are having a great experience. We're doing some tweaks to make it better for those people who aren't. It should be better every time.
Every time.
Especially doing it at, you know, 9 p.m. Eastern, tied in with a television show.
Yeah, it was a little rough.
Where it's like, hey, by the way, turn off your TVs and go download this right now.
Now!
Yeah, that was a little challenging.
So so it was a big BioShock show, and then I was like, well, we're not going to talk about BioShock again, but we have to because now we've been playing, and everybody's been playing not only the demo, but now the game has been released.
Yes, we have to remember to give spoiler space.
Yeah, like, spoiler space.
I love that game.
Actually, you know, you want to see this?
Is that what I think it is?
Yeah, I just got this in. Here, let's open it up. So I'm actually opening. I haven't gotten it in yet.
Your big daddy?
Here it is.
Nice.
Look at him. There he is. So this is the limited edition that I ordered.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
that's really cool.
Yeah, so big daddy style. It's got a bunch of discs, and it's
that's going to look good up on, you know, the memorabilia shelf or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been meaning to show you that. So anyway, we've got a big show going on. First thing I want to do is let's talk about some of the games we're playing. BioShock,
Space Giraffe.
But I want to talk about D-Pad Magazine. I got an email from David Scammell, who's the editor of D-Pad Magazine, dpad-magazine.com. New PDF file, new PDF magazine up. So go ahead and check that out. Ian and I were looking at that earlier.
We didn't have time to read the articles. Looks very nice.
Looks nice. So take a look at that. PAX, you and I went to PAX, Penny Arcade Expo.
Yep.
Did you read the thing on that they posted this week about that guy they threw out?
Yeah, that was hilarious. Oh, God.
Yeah, I was like, oh, God, that's embarrassing.
Penny-arcade.com, go catch up on the news.
Yeah, so PAX was a hit.
PAX was awesome.
Yeah, I was there on Saturday. Of course, I used I talked about it earlier, the audio from the panel that I hosted, and it was great. I want to thank all the guests for coming down and all the audience. So great questions from the audience. I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at the clock, and it's like quarter after two. Yeah. Quarter after two, and I'm like, you know, maybe we should open it for questions. I didn't know if anyone was going to ask questions. I said, all right, let's go to questions. And I look up, and there's like 15 people in line.
And you had to kick what? 15, 20 people out of line?
Yeah, we only got through like five people.
Yeah.
Because there was another session starting in that room, so we couldn't stay.
The enforcers were starting to
get they were starting to bounce me.
Yeah.
But I want to thank everybody for that, for coming down for that. I couldn't stay that long because we talked about this earlier. My family was in town. And I must tell you this funny story. We'll get to that in a second. So I said, look, I got to go down and do this thing on Saturday. I'll bring you guys into town with me. So we rented a minivan because we don't have a minivan. You don't have my Prius. We rented a minivan. I bring the entire family downtown.
Okay, the entire family, mom, sisters.
Mom, my two sisters. One of the husbands was here, not the other one. They have three kids between them. So everybody.
Wow. Okay.
And my mom's husband, who's funny as hell, but that's another conversation. We bring them all down, and I pull up to the aquarium in downtown Seattle. I'm like, okay, guys, it's like 11:30. I'm like,
I'll pick you up
at 3:00. It's like, okay, so off they go, and so I like ran up, come into the convention center. Which, if you've never been to the Seattle Convention Center, I've been a few times. Even though I've been a few times, that place is damn confusing.
Well, actually, that was my one complaint about PAX. When I walked in. I went in, I guess, what was the wrong entrance, but the one that goes up the main escalator.
Right, that's where I went.
And it wasn't, there were no signs obviously saying go this way.
Yeah, that's not where PAX was.
Right.
It was the other way.
I went in there because that's where SakuraCon was.
That's exactly
what
I did.
Which was the last time I was there.
Yep.
So we tried this door, no. This door, no. Oh, it's got to be here. No. And I'm with like six, seven people.
Yeah.
And they're all like, you idiot. And I'm like, no, this is where.
What? Yeah, it was really confusing. Yeah. But once he got inside, it was really cool. The Microsoft booth looked really good. There was a Big Daddy at the Microsoft booth.
Yes, there was a Big Daddy. There was a guy in Master Chief.
Yep.
Mjolnir armor wandering around.
Yeah, we got some video up on Marketplace, or excuse me, up on Xbox.com. It may be going up on Marketplace. Excuse me, that we did. Ran around with that. Tony and John and the guys from the Gamerscore blog did a great job with the booth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They had Mass Effect demos. They had a bunch of
stuff. Mass Effect demo was insane.
Yeah, I actually stopped dead in my tracks. I hadn't seen it before, and I was like, they were doing it. I was like, oh my God, that looks great.
That's one of those, wow, I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. So that was PAX. PAX was great. We got to do the BioShock contest. We got to pay off on that. But we're going to do that later on in the show.
Okay.
People who wrote their meta
spoiler reviews. Free mini reviews.
Right. Spoiler free mini reviews. So since we talked last, since we last had a show together, I took a whirlwind trip.
Oh, right.
For the Doritos Unlock the Xbox contest.
Yes.
This was a contest that, as many of you do know, was taking place that was sponsored by Doritos. And basically, the concept was that you submitted your game, and it was you had to go against a bunch of other people, and then if chosen, you would in fact make a game, or they would make a game based on your concept, your treatment. So, did you read any of me?
No, okay. I have not had time. It's been crazy.
So what they did was they came to me and they said, "Hey, we want to. There's five people. We want you to go visit two of them and surprise them." Walk up to the door and surprise them.
They know you're not Ed McMahon, right?
Right. So for those of you outside the country, Ed McMahon, basically Publishers Clearinghouse in the United States does this thing. It's kind of gimmicky, and you walk up. Hey! So I had a camera crew with me. So first let me
was
just...
Was it Video Monkey?
Or? No, it was a totally separate camera. It was actually a guy and a woman. Or it was just a woman, actually. And so first stop is I have to go to Panama City, Florida. Now, mind you, I'm blogging about this, but I can't say where I'm going.
Right.
So my first stop is Panama City, Florida. Have you ever been there?
I've never been to Panama City.
Panama City, Florida. It's kind of up in the panhandle closer to Mississippi.
Okay.
So I've never been up in that neck of the woods either. So we get there. We land. First of all, I connect. Where did I connect through? Atlanta or Chicago? And I'm in this little, like...
Puddle jumper.
Buddy Holly special.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a little nervous.
Ouch.
So we land. It was just finished raining. We land at this tiny, tiny airport. There's four gates at this airport. Okay, they open the airport for the flight, and then they close it. It's not open all the time. So we land. I get my luggage. We get the car. We go to the hotel. We're staying at a La Quinta Inn. Now, I messaged you with this.
Oh,
I logged in. I swear to God, we're at the La Quinta Inn in Panama City, Florida. And I said, E, there's 38 cigarette holes in my carpet in my room.
Yep.
It was...
The really funny thing, I got to interrupt your story just for one sec, is a couple days later, I'm in like a big management update meeting where everyone's kind of going around the table and saying, here's what's going on this week.
Right,
you know.
Right.
And your boss's boss
right.
used that as a throw-in line at the very end of his status.
Yeah.
And the whole room just cracked up.
Yeah, so hey, you know, live servers are running great. You're doing your updates for the fall and all that other stuff. And Major Nelson's at a La Quinta Inn in Panama City, Florida with 38 cigarette burns. And I was like, is that a Zagat rating? I don't know. So I'm at the we're at the Panama City La Quinta Inn. We're going to see. Let me see if I can find his name here. Let me see if I can find his name. Where is he? That's not it. Hold on. Devin. I don't want to give his last name. But his game was basically, it was like dodgeball. So we go, basically the producer, the camera person.
So dodgeball with Doritos?
Yeah. So okay. I'm working that night, and the producer goes off and does kind of a dry run, goes, finds out where his house is and everything like that. So the first morning we go up. It's not in a very nice part of town.
Okay.
So I'm a little nervous at this point. But it's early. It's 7 a.m. And
what if the guy's on vacation?
Yeah, exactly. So, but I didn't have to worry about that. So I walk up, I explain to him, congratulations, you're one of the finalists. We had a great, great conversation. He's a really nice guy. His wife and his daughter were there. So it was really nice. So we recorded as much as we could. Now, we have to be on an airplane at 4 o'clock in the afternoon to go to the next location.
Okay.
So we're running fast and hard. So we're done like at 9 o'clock in the morning. And where do we go to eat? Have you ever been to a Waffle House?
Oh, I love Waffle House.
Oh, man.
Oh, chicken and biscuits, baby.
So we go to the Waffle House, which Trixie's not here right now. She would die when her heaven is a Waffle House because it is greasy spoon of greasy spoons.
Oh, yeah.
So we go to the Waffle House. Please look up Waffle House. And I have to add this as a link on the link dump, Waffle House link dump. So we go to the Waffle House, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah.
It was like, a scene out of a Quentin Tarantino movie.
Well, you know how I feel about like 24-hour breakfast joints.
Yeah, and who doesn't?
I've actually got a couple great pack stories around that, but we'll get to that later.
So we go to the Waffle House, we eat, everything's great. We go back. I think I took a nap or something. Get to the airplane, take the next airplane. Now we're going to, where are we going to? Let me just pull it up.
Didn't you go to Colorado next?
We did. We went to Colorado Springs, Colorado. We land at like 9 o'clock, or it was probably 10 o'clock at night in Colorado Springs, Colorado, to go see Jeremy.
Now, did you catch the mountains as you're coming in?
No.
What?
Because it's 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, good
point. You can't see anything.
But it's freaking gorgeous.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
But we get in, we get out, now, mind you, it was the oppressive heat and humidity of Panama City. We get off, and the air is really beautiful and nice in Colorado Springs, and we're going to see Jeremy, who I don't want to give his last name or his gamer tag, but he's...
So what was his game?
His game was PB's Quest for Flavor. It was about a little bug, if I remember correctly.
Okay. He was looking for like the nacho cheese dust on the Doritos?
Yeah, I don't worry. I'm just looking through here. I'm looking through my notes. It's like a little bug looking for flavors of the different Doritos. So it's kind of cool.
Okay.
Anyway, it was like a roll-up bug. I can't remember what they're called.
Potato bugs.
No, it wasn't that. Anyway.
Yeah, potato bugs.
So we land. Once again, it's dark out. We go out to get the rent-a-car, which in the airport in Colorado Springs is way out in the middle of nowhere. And we look off in the distance, and it was like planet Earth. It was so crisp and clear, the lightning. Now, it wasn't raining. This was in the distance.
Right.
So it's like these huge bolts of lightnings are coming through. It was like I literally dropped my bags and was like, wow.
So Colorado Springs in HD.
Yeah, it was mind-blowing. So we get in the car. We drive. We're on our way out of the airport. And I swear to God, Eve, this is true. We had to stop the car because a group of coyotes was crossing. There's this huge, long access road. And it's now 11 o'clock, 11:30, and these coyotes are passing.
Like a pack of them?
Yeah, whatever they call a group of coyotes. There's like four or five.
Wow.
A family, okay. Gaggle, whatever they are.
It's not a gaggle.
We check in at the hotel, exhausted. Now, this is a nice hotel. This is a courtyard. I don't know if it was a courtyard. It was a residence inn.
No burns on the carpet?
No, it was really quite nice. Okay. And they had wonderful broadband, which is an indicator.
That's important.
It's the most important thing. So wake up next morning at like 6:30. Go to Jeremy's house. Now he lives in he lives about 15 minutes away. So we get in the car, we go over, we're on our way there, and I look off to the right and I see this. First of all, you're right. The mountains are gorgeous because it was a beautiful morning.
Right.
And I see this development, and the development is probably about 10,000 houses. It's one of those
all identical.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh my God, it's like crazy. So there's all these houses. And we pull in, and we're going in because this is where he lives. And we kind of pull around the corner. We're going down all these streets that look the same. We pull around the corner. We get the van out. We get the camera. I get all mic'd up. We walk up to his front of his house, and he opens the door. It's Jeremy. I said, hey, Jeremy, you know who I am? He knew exactly who I was. Nice guy. Okay. He says, oh, you're Major Nelson. I said, hey, you know why I'm here? He's like, no, what are you doing here? So I kind of go through the Doritos, and we talked about his game. PB's Quest for Flavor is what it was called.
Okay.
And I tell him he's one of the finalists.
PB, Potato Bug.
There you go. So he was the nicest guy. He and his wife and his daughter were there, and they were just wonderful family. And they had a dog and two cats, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
Bob the Bob? Bob the Basset Hound. Okay. This is a cute Basset Hound. So we go and they're shooting video. It was really nice. We told them about it. And we shot some B-roll. I went down into his TV room and we played some Madden for a while. And I actually had in my phone.
Did you win?
No, he was playing.
Oh, okay.
He was fine. I was watching. He was working his way through a season. And I had on my phone a code for whatever the arcade title was that week. So I gave him that code, and he downloaded that. So I gave him a free one. It was really nice to spend some time with him, and then we came home that night. It was exhausting.
Yeah.
It was exhausting. So that was my Doritos Whirlwind Tour, and they all came out the following week, which is when I wasn't here because I was off with the family, and I guess they got a tour and so forth. So I don't know who's going to win, but good luck to that.
Now, did you get some Doritos out of the deal?
They said, you know what? They said they were going to send me Doritos.
And nothing.
And they never sent them.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so the five finalists are Doritos Dinosaur Dash by Mike of Sedwicky, Pennsylvania. Doritos presents UDC Ultimate Dodgeball Championship. That was Devin down in Panama City. Monkeys from Mount Doritos, Juanito of Illinois. PB's Quest for Flavor, Jeremy of Colorado Springs, Colorado. And Rhythm Racing by Ken of Georgia. Now, what I forgot to tell you was I did call all of the other three winners that we didn't visit.
Right.
The night I was at the Panama City, and we recorded that. So they all got a call. So I'm sure you'll be seeing that up on Marketplace or someplace anytime soon. So they got thousands of promotions, or excuse me, thousands of entries, and those were the best. So all right, I'm all done with that part. Just want to tell you where I was because I couldn't tell them where I was. It was frustrating because they wouldn't let me say because they didn't want the winners to find out.
Right.
So now I'm able to talk about it. All right, where were we?
We were pre-Doritos.
Pre-Doritos.
I've lost track already.
Yeah, so that's the Doritos. You know what's happening this week? Right now, actually, as we speak, that this is airing. If you downloaded this Sunday night,
Sunday night football.
That doesn't mean anything to anybody out of the United States.
Yeah.
No, what I'm going to tell you is we are having a sale on Xbox Live Arcade games.
Wait, it starts at midnight, doesn't it?
It depends where you are. Well.
True.
It really depends where you are. It actually is. It begins at Sunday GMT at 12 midnight, and then continues until Monday, basically Monday, September 3rd at midnight. So go get you 48 hours to grab Small Arms for 400 points. Normally it's 800. Zuma Deluxe, 400 points. Normally 800. Gauntlet, 200. Normally 400. And Dig Dug, 200. Normally 400. So
those are, yeah. Three of those are like on my must-have list.
Yeah, so go ahead and grab them now. Some folks have asked me, well, does that mean it's going to be a price drop in every region? Well, if the game is available in your region, then it's going to be for the reduced price.
Oh, cool.
That's the way you need to look at it. Don't get hung up on the sale part. And they're calling it a price drop. I'm going to call it a sale.
It's a price drop that will then be followed by a price reinflation. It will go back to the original price afterwards.
Right, so this is limited time only. Sale. Right. While supplies last.
Yes. If we run out of bits,
if we run out of bits,
the original price.
We'll let you know. So that's happening. The other thing that's happened this week is, or the past week, there's been a ton, and I'd like to underscore, a ton of demos.
Yes.
So the Beautiful Katamari, well, that actually was out there already. Medal of Honor Airborne demo, we talked about that. Tiger Woods went out this week.
Yep.
Call of Juarez, where'd that one come from?
The timing was a little surprising.
Yep.
But yeah,
that's out. The Surf's Up demo, which was previously available in the United States and North America, is now available in Europe, Australia, and New Zealand. NHL 08 is out, and Time Shift.
Yeah, which is one I want to take a look at. One thing I do want to touch on, the timing of the Call of Juarez demo, because this is something that always spins people up. Remember way back when like Cameo or PDZ got a demo months and months after the game had shipped?
Yep.
The important thing to remember is all you people out there going, well, I already have this game, or I've already played it, is there are tens of millions of more people who are just about to go buy a 360 that haven't.
Right.
So in an ideal world, we'd have a demo up there for every game.
Right.
So that all the new customers get to check them.
And there's still demos up. A lot of the demos are still up there from last year.
So even though
he has the server space to prove it.
Yes. We're not out of bits.
Right. Is the hard drive on the live? Is the live hard drive getting read yet? You know, is it full?
We believe it or not, we have more than one.
Okay. It's a USB one that Eve runs around and plugs in. A lot of demos this week. It's been a busy couple weeks. What I want to do now is we're going to just start in. I've got a bunch of interviews. I want to roll the Halo controller interview, Medal of Honor, and then we're going to finish up with the Jeff Minner interview because
my giraffe is in another castle.
Because your giraffe and my giraffe is in your castle. All right, it's Halo controller time. Going on sale this week are the Todd McFarlane Halo controllers. And, well, I'm going to have you guys talk about it. I'll let you guys introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Chad Davis, product manager for Xbox 360 accessories.
Chad, I want to talk to you, and then with Chad we have...
Hi, I'm Richard Velasquez. I'm the Xbox product planner focused on hardware.
So you're the guy... You two are the guys that really made... Most of the guys that made this happen.
Yeah,
that's exactly. One way to look at it. So we're going to have to pass the microphone back and forth because it's just the way we do things. Tell us about these controllers. They're going on sale like this week.
Yeah, they'll be shipping to retail on September 4th, so I expect you'll see them on the shelves probably, you know, a few days later around the 8th or something like that.
And there's two different – tell us about the two different models. Some people have seen these. I'm going to put a link off to Xbox.com, but tell us visually. It's kind of tough with radio.
Sure.
Kind of describe them.
Sure. There's two different designs. One of them is a Spartan-themed design featuring Master Chief, of course.
Right.
And the other is a Covenant-themed design featuring a Brute Chief.
Right. And then with it, you also get – so they're kind of interesting packaging because not only do you get the controller, the wireless controller, of course, which is an award-winning controller.
That's right.
Except for the D-pad, and we'll talk about that later. Richard, we got to talk about that D-pad. but you also get a little action figure up here.
Yeah, it's a collectible figurine, and it's really cool. So Todd McFarlane, the wonderful comic book artist Todd McFarlane, provided the designs for the controllers themselves.
Yep.
And he also has a very well-known and respected line of toy products.
I think well-known is underestimating it.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So we actually got the McFarlane Company to provide collectible figurines to go along with the controllers. Both of them are Master Chief figurines. One is holding a shotgun, and the other has the assault rifle.
The AR.
Right on.
As the cool kids say.
Yes.
Apparently, I guess. Now, this also, I want to be also clear, it's batteries are included.
Yeah,
I noticed there's batteries.
With all of our wireless controllers.
Yeah, batteries included. It's an interesting design. Tell us what it was like working with Todd McFarlane. I interviewed him down at Comic-Con last month. But I also want to find out, what are some of the challenges to make this design work in this controller format?
Well, this is the first time we've ever done anything like this in terms of putting graphics on the wireless controller. And
right.
It's the idea came up a while ago when we were meeting to discuss. We're all big Halo fans, and we're like, what can we do to tie in accessories with the whole Halo experience?
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of some kind of graphic controller that ties into the Halo universe came up. So when we were meeting with the franchise team, we found out that Todd McFarlane is actually licensed to do a whole line of 6 to 8 inch figures as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he had actually volunteered to make a Halo 3 faceplate. So we actually asked them to approach him and say, hey, would you like to do artwork for controllers?
Right.
We've never done it before.
Right.
It's going to be a completely new process.
Right. Tell me about that process, because it's not just like a decal slapped on top, right?
No, it's called IML. It's very similar to the faceplate designs that we do, so you can't scratch them off. What it is, it's you put the graphics on this film. And it's put into the film is put into a mold, and then it's shot with plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's plastic injection molded,
mm-hmm.
so that it becomes an integral part of the actual design, the actual controller itself. Mm-hmm. So it's you can't scratch it off.
You can't rub it off.
Anything. It's just
permanent.
It's permanent.
That's kind of cool because the colors are really, you know, you can clearly take a look at it and see which one's the Covenant and which one's the Elite over there.
Yeah. So we have two distinct designs, which is Master Chief and the Brute controller, and when we were thinking back to Halo 2, they had two very distinct storylines with the Master Chief and with the Covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, let's do this form of duality.
Mm-hmm.
So we came up with a Spartan version and a Covenant version, and of course, then we made the top is graphics and the back is black, so
right.
It works with all the black accessories as well.
Now I have to ask both of you guys, because Bungie won't let me play Halo 3 yet. Have you guys gotten a chance to at least play some of the campaign yet?
I'm on the Epsilon.
Yeah. Okay, so that's what you haven't played any of the campaign.
No,
nobody has. No, I didn't know if you can go to Bungie and say, hey guys, we're working on these controllers. We really need some creative inspiration. Didn't fly, did it?
Yeah, I wish, but no, that didn't work out.
So in addition to the Halo controllers, first of all, they're going to launch this week. Now, is that global?
Yes, yeah, they'll be launching worldwide, and they should be out worldwide within the next week or so.
And what is the cost, for instance, in the U.S.?
Suggested retail on these is $59.99,
and of course check your local stores for your actual pricing.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're $59.99 for whether you're going Spartan or into Covenant.
Yes. Yep. And these are, I should say that these are limited editions. So
they are.
Yeah, I expect them to go pretty quickly. It's a one-time manufacturing run, gone when gone. So,
gone when gone. So yeah. they're not numbered or anything?
No, no, they're not numbered. Okay. But I anticipate that they'll go pretty quickly.
Right.
And one of the other kind of cool things about it is that the McFarlane Group announced that they're going to be doing a full line of Halo-themed action figures that are going to launch in March of next year. Mm-hmm. So we've really got... these figurines are exclusive to this offering, so we've got the first Todd McFarlane Halo figurines on the market.
So you can't even, if you wanted to buy the little figurines, you couldn't even do that.
Can't buy them separately. So they're exclusive to this offer.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of looking at them here. We're going to give some of these away on the show as well. You're going to provide some for me, which is great. Yep. I want to thank you for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's talk about the other. So we've got the two controllers. We're going to put those off to the side for a second. Now, the other piece of Halo hardware that we have is the headset. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so the headset is going to be launching at the same time. It'll ship out next week. It'll also be selling for $59.99. The headset is a little bit different. This is not a Todd McFarlane designed product.
Right.
The headset is actually in the same design as the Halo Special Edition console that's coming out.
That we announced at E3.
Yep.
That Peter Moore quickly pulled up and showed and then stuffed under the...
Right.
If we remember
right.
correctly. It was like, what was that? Everybody kind of, what was that?
Yeah, exactly. So it's got the Master Chief armor green, and then the visor gold for the power button, which is kind of cool, and then the little Halo 3 logo on the boom.
Now, how come the visual design for this is entirely different than, obviously, the McFarlane? The design is very similar to the box. Can we talk about the Xbox for a second? Tell me about the design a little bit. What was some of the inspiration for that design?
The inspiration came directly from the Bungie group. So the graphics guys worked with Bungie to come up. Are you're talking about the console? Or
yeah, the console and obviously the wireless headset as
well. They worked directly with Bungie to come up with a concept. And the concept was more, instead of putting characters of the Halo universe, they wanted to make it look like it was part of the Halo universe, something that you would see Master Chief carrying around, for example. So the actual graphics and design on the console has like a weathered appearance. As if,
it looks battle-scarred.
Battle-scarred, exactly. Yeah, it's through the test of time. It has the Halo design themes and cues as part of it. So it has the Master Chief green with the goal, as he said. So the headset perfectly matches the color scheme.
A must for any Halo fan.
Yes, exactly. All of these accessories are a must.
All these accessories are a must. Tell us a little bit more about the box. It's the Halo box. A lot of people had some questions around the Halo box.
Yeah, so the Halo box is going to be the green design for the console, which is with the weathered appearance and the graphics on the side.
Yep.
And the graphics are hard to tell when you're just looking at a picture of it because it's on the whole side of the console.
Okay.
So then it's got the red bind button. It also has the gold visor around the hard drive frame. So what you typically have as a silver chrome is going to be matched the visor.
Right.
It's going to come with the 20-gigabyte hard drive.
So 20-gig hard drive.
Come with a matching wired green headset.
Okay.
But if you want to upgrade to the wireless headset, we're providing.
And it has a wireless controller.
And it has a green wireless controller with really nice black.
Do you have any of those there? I haven't seen any of those. Do you have any of those, Chad? So look, we're in his office right now, and we're going through everything. It's great. You guys think my office is cool? You should see his office. He's got stuff in here that we can't even talk. Can we talk about this yet? No, I guess we can't talk about that yet. But he's got stuff in here we can't even talk about. I want to ask you one question, Richard. Is it HDMI?
Yes, it's HDMI.
So that is an HDMI box.
Yes.
So, oh, here it is. So this is the... Oh, look at that. You're right. It's all...
It perfectly matches the console and has really cool black accents.
So I'm
all
holding
around.
The Halo 3 console, or the Halo console wireless controller right now. Oh, I like the little touch of red right there for the
bind. And the red bind button on the controller matches the red bind button on the console.
On the console. So, and then what's the story? When is that going to be available?
Oh, I just wanted to mention also that the red bind button is also on the wireless headset.
You can't see it because it's
in the package,
but
on the other side. So yeah, so all the accessories match perfectly. And I should also mention that this is limited edition as well. The wireless headset is.
So the wireless headset, when is that going on sale?
The wireless headset goes on sale at the same time as the controller. So it ships to retail this week.
So within the next week or so, people are going to see the Halo controllers, both of them, the Spartan and the Covenant. They're going to see the headset, the wireless Halo headset. And then what about the actual hardware, the actual Halo box?
Halo box is going to be available, I think, a week later.
Okay. So within the next month, you're going to be all, obviously, because it's all coming out because, well, gee, the game is coming out too.
Right, exactly.
Gee, you guys worked that just timing perfectly, yeah. Didn't you? Nice work.
Funny how that worked out. Yeah, just got lucky that way, I guess.
One of the other, but you know, since you guys work on the hardware, both of you, I also want to talk about another device which is coming out, which is the ChatPad.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the ChatPad for a second.
Yeah, the ChatPad is going to be great. So it's the ChatPad is part of the Xbox 360 Messenger kit,
yep.
Which includes the ChatPad as well as a wired headset.
Okay.
And that ships to retail at the same time as these Halo accessories. So you'll start seeing that show up.
So if you do a lot of chatting, if you're in game and you want to send a lot of, you don't want to break out to send a voice chat or anything, this is the perfect perfect device to snap on the bottom. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. It easily snaps onto the bottom of the controller.
Yep.
And it really doesn't have a lot of weight to it.
No.
So, I mean, it feels perfectly natural to just continue to game.
Those are the keys.
Yeah.
So those are the keys. The keys have a nice click to it, like a good keyboard.
Yeah, and the buttons are backlit, so you can kind of use it in any kind of lighting environment. And...
Yeah, and I was talking with Albert about this, who's been on the show before, but when you get if you're signed into Messenger in your Xbox, and you get an incoming message, the little Messenger button lights up, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. And, I mean, you know, I've been playing with the prototypes for a while now, and it's just it's so nice and so much easier than using, you know, the virtual keyboard.
Which
so
I hate. I hate that virtual keyboard. It's like, well, it's actually a little known story. I had a huge discussion with the guys that are working on that. I'm like, why can't we just make a QWERTY keyboard? Why? And they got an A through Z, and there was like low, because it didn't work in Japan and all these other places. So, but I'm glad we have a...
Yeah, and it's a great value. Like I said, it comes with a wired headset and the ChatPad for $29.99.
And where is that going to be available?
That will be available everywhere that Xbox 360 accessories are sold.
So we've got a lot of new hardware coming out for the next few weeks.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And then just under a month later, we'll have the new color controllers shipping as well.
And what are those colors?
So we're going to have in the U.S. here a dark blue mm-hmm. controller and then a pink controller.
Finally for the girls.
Yes.
For the ladies.
Exactly.
Or for those that like pink. I don't want to be sexist, but if you're a big fan of pink.
I hear pink is the new black.
Pink is the new black. And then what are some of the other colors we've got? So blue, it's kind of an electric blue, isn't it?
Yeah. Some people have been calling it varsity blue, I think.
Varsity. All right. Varsity blue, pink, and then what are some of the other colors? Those are available in North America?
Yeah. And then in Europe and Asia, there's a lighter blue.
Mm-hmm.
I have that one right over here.
It's kind of like a Tiffany blue.
Yeah.
That's nice.
And then, of course, we have the black controllers that are out now, well as the chill.
Right, as well as the chill. What are the official? So is it pink? Or did you come up with, like, bubble gum? Or, you know, and is this green? Or is this, you know, something like mint? Did you come up with some fun names?
No, we're just calling them pink and blue. And
well, I'm gonna turn that over to the community. I'm going to let you guys come up with names. Okay, community? So go ahead and post what you think the color should be for. We've got chill. You know, what should black be? Carbon. You just can't come on. We got to take some cues here from the fashion industry.
I think the black was Vader black.
Oh, was it?
I think
that's
so.
Right. Because I think the code name for that was Vader. So it's Vader, as in Darth Vader. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, that's great. What other hardware stuff we got? I mean, we covered a lot of stuff. There's some stuff we can't really talk about, like a lot of the stuff in this room. So I'll have you guys on the show again to talk about more hardware.
Sounds great.
And people will send us, I'm sure they're going to post on this show, you know, their suggestions for hardware. So you guys will have to be watching that. Before I let you go, got to ask you your gamer tags.
Falcon Warrior.
Falcon Warrior. So if you have any ideas for hardware, send it to Falcon Warrior.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Yeah, that was Richard, and this is Chad. Mine is Go Get Bent.
Go Get Bent. So do you want to tell the stories behind any of those, or just leave them alone?
So for mine, we put our gamer tags on our business cards.
Yep, we do.
And I thought it was kind of funny to say Go Get Ben on my business card.
All right, that's kind of cool. That'll work. All right, I'm going to let you guys go.
Going to say mine.
Yeah, go ahead. Give me yours.
I was a bit of a geek, or still kind of am. It was my D&D character.
Oh, wait, you just got plus 10 geek points.
Yeah, I had a character called Warhawk, and then his son was Falcon. So
right.
Falcon.
All right, joining me on the line today is Tom Hess, who is the multiplayer producer for Medal of Honor Airborne. Tom, thanks for joining me on the show this week.
Thanks for having me.
So people are excited. Medal of Honor Airborne is coming out next week, or this coming week, as it may be, the 4th of September on Xbox 360. Tell me what some of the fans can expect for multiplayer in Medal of Honor Airborne.
Well, this time in multiplayer, we've added the airdrop, which is our main feature. You can go anywhere every time you spawn. So you'll spawn out of a C-47 and jump right into the action. You can constantly be making decisions as you come down. You can land with your allies, group up, or you can land right next to the enemy and try and sneak up behind them.
Yeah, I downloaded the demo this week from Xbox Live Marketplace, and it was really pretty extraordinary because you jump out, and it's exactly as you describe. I'm looking down from my character's feet, and I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to land. Now, I have not been parachuting before. I don't know if you have. But can you give some of the players some tips for what's the best way to kind of approach this?
Well, and the great thing about multiplayer is every time you die, you respawn, so you can retry different things. One of my favorite things to do is to come down in an axis that's not looking up, and we have this thing where you can kick in the air. So if you time it just right, you kick them in the head, and it's an instant death.
That sounds pretty deadly. Once you're on the ground, what can players expect in terms of some first-person shooting combat?
Well, for the first time in this series and in first-person shooters, we're using all total vertical gameplay. You can land anywhere in the map. All the rooftops are playable space. All the stairways, balconies, anything you see is a playable space now. So you're no longer just looking down corridors. One of the tips when the maps are loading up is simply look up. This is new to first-person shooters, that you have to constantly be looking up and all around you, because everywhere within the map is a playable space.
Well, when I was playing this, I noticed I landed on a roof and I kind of was bouncing around, and the enemy got a beat on me pretty quick. Once I'm down on the ground, can I get back on the roof, or do I have to take that into account as, you know, when I land, I'm like, okay, I'm going to stay up here for a little while, and then my next strategy is going to kind of take this area or that area over there?
Well, with the multiplayer, when someone gets you, you can see where they are. So if you kill someone, the camera kind of pans to who killed you. So if they're up on the roof, you can then, you know, if they don't move, then you can go root them out of where they were hiding. So it prevents people from just camping on the roofs at all times. But the axis can also get to all the roofs themselves.
So really, no place is safe.
Right.
Tom, tell us a little bit about the weapons in the multiplayer.
So with the weapons, we have each team has the equal amount of weapons. We have rifles, submachine guns, assault rifles, anti-tank weapons, and sniper rifles. And every single weapon is fully upgradable. So with each weapon, it has three tiers of upgrades, and the final tier usually gives you an alternate firing method. So with a rifle, you upgrade and you get better accuracy, better, faster reload rate, and then the final one is you get a grenade launcher that you can attach to the end of the weapon. Each of the weapons is balanced for that playing style. So with an SMG, you want a close range action, and it's more of a spray and pray kind of weapon. With the assault or the automatic rifles, you want to short little bursts, and you can shoot from a distance with them. With the rifles, they're a long-range weapon. Sniper rifle is an extra long-range weapon. And then the anti-tank is a slower reload, and you move a little bit slower, but you can damage a lot of people at once.
How do you actually upgrade your weapon in a multiplayer scenario? How does that work?
Killing.
So basically, that's your reward for your kills.
Right, and what we've done is we didn't want it to be a long, drawn-out process to fully upgrade the weapon. We want you to play with each weapon and learn how to play with each weapon, so it's a pretty quick process. Within the first 20 kills, you're getting your first upgrade. Then it gets a little bit harder. And playing for about, you know, hour and a half, you'll be able to fully upgrade each weapon.
That's good to know.
Yeah, and we upgrade it by class, so weapon class. So if you upgrade your rifle on the Axis, you're also upgrading your rifle on the Allies, so that at any time you can jump on whichever team you want and aren't punished for that.
So the upgrades are really bound to you as a character. Tom, I want to ask you, jumping back a little bit, we talked about the vertical combat. What does that present to you as a level designer and as the producer? What do you have to take into? Because normally when you're designing a multiplayer level, you can design areas that you know the player probably isn't going to get to. Does it present some challenges when you're designing levels for airdropping?
Absolutely. We've taken three maps from the single player and converted them into multiplayer maps, and then we've taken three of the community's favorite maps from Allied Assault and converted them. And those maps didn't have rooftops at all. So what we had to do was we worked with production design, and they would concept draw rooftops for us. And we really wanted to make them playable spaces and really interesting. So we made lots of paths with blown out roofs that you can land through and fly into a safe landing and do all that. who really wanted to take advantage of that vertical game play space and make sure that it worked well with the regular ground space that players are used to.
Yeah, I mean, really, because players, to your point a little bit earlier, players are used to just kind of dealing with everybody's on the same level and maybe a little bit higher on a rock or maybe a little bit lower, but for the most part, everyone's pretty much on the same level. But when I remember when I landed on the roof, I was like 3 or 4 levels above everyone else, and it really provided a fantastic vantage point for sniping.
Right, and it's got its pros and cons, because not only are you on a roof with a good angle, but you're also silhouetted against the sky to all the players on the ground.
So what are some tips you can give us there in terms of what's a good place to snipe from?
Well, there's lots of ways to get up for both the Allies and Axis. So if you can find little windows to shoot out of are always great, and just working through the interiors to get up to play spaces.
One of the other things I want to talk about is the Operation Live Jump. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So we're really excited about the Operation Live Jump. It's a 2-day event starting on September 7th at 12:01 p.m. Eastern Time, and it ends at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time on September 9th. There's two events going on. One is a leaderboard tournament. So that's on the 9th, and it starts at 12:01 a.m. Eastern Time on the 9th and ends at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time. And what that is in our new mode, Objective Airborne, and in ranked gameplay, people can log on to Microsoft's website and sign up for the event and then start playing Objective Airborne in ranked mode and start getting points. So there's some really cool prizes that you can win, and to find out what they are, you can go to xbox.com/Operation Jump. Also, we're having an event with the developers where on Friday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to have 12 developers online playing with the fans of the game. So we'll be giving out the gamer tags for all of the developers. You'll be able to jump in and play against us.
Are you going to be playing?
I am going to be playing. For that event, my gamer tag will be MOA PROD.
So that's pretty straightforward. MOA PROD. And, of course, all the gamer tags and everything that we just mentioned right here, I'll put a link up on the blog, and people can go up and take a look at all the great prizes that that they can win, and they get to play with you guys. I know you're doing some stuff with the PMS clan, so you're going to have all sorts of shoot 'em up, airdrop, and action going on. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Absolutely. We can't wait to get out there and play against the fans.
Great. Well, listen, Tom, I appreciate you taking a few minutes out of your day to talk about Medal of Honor Airborne now on Xbox 360 and, of course, Operation Live Jump, which is a chance to win some great prizes. I'll see you online, and hopefully you won't see my silhouette against the moon when I'm trying to take you down.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
All right. Joining me on the line today is, I guess, video game legend Jeff Minter. Jeff, thanks for coming on the show.
My pleasure. It's good to be here.
So a lot of folks are aware of what you've done for the Xbox 360. Most recently, it's a pretty cool game on the Xbox 360, specifically in the arcade space, called Space Giraffe. Tell us about Space Giraffe.
Well, Space Giraffe is, I guess, what people would call a psychedelic shooter. It's a very trippy shooting game, roughly based on Tempest 2000, which I did years ago for the Atari Jaguar. But taking in a couple of new directions, it's an interesting game in that it seems to have split people quite cleanly down the middle. A lot of people either hate it or they love it. There's no middle ground, it seems. it seems if people dislike it, they really, really dislike it and are very vocal about it. But if people love it, they really, really love it, and they're saying it's the best game they've played for years and really enjoying it. So. I think that basically we've done a good job because people at least are talking about it.
Yeah, I was actually talking to a friend of mine who also sits in on my show sometimes, who works here at Xbox, and he was playing it at his house this weekend, and they were using it as a drinking game. So apparently there's some other stuff. I want to before we start talking more about Space Giraffe, I want to go back a little bit. You've been in the video game industry for a long time. Can you give us a little bit of your resume for those people that may or may not be familiar with you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I learned to program back in 1979. I did some coding on the early Sinclair machines, the ZX80 and ZX81, in 1980 and 1981.
Now those are that was the original portable computer, wasn't it?
I think they called it the Timex Sinclair in the US. It's a very, very small machine. 1K of memory was the ZX81.
Yep.
Then I moved on to the Commodore machines because I'd actually learned to program on a Commodore PET, so I was very familiar with Commodore machines. Got onto the VIC-20 and then the Commodore 64, spent a good few years doing Commodore 64 games. Then moved on to the Atari ST and the Amiga, spent a few years working there. Then I did some work on the Jaguar, including Tempest 2000. Then I spent a few years working on a machine which nobody's ever heard of called the Neuon.
Mm-hmm.
Then basically I did a few little pocket PC games and things like that and resurrected LlamaSoft, and then we got going again when we did the visualizer for the Xbox 360, which was a very nice piece of work. I really enjoyed doing that. That was my introduction to the Xbox 360.
Yeah, that was actually, a lot of people don't know that, but I know we made a lot of noise about it when we launched a few years ago, but you're the guy, when people throw in their music and they kind of go into visualizer mode, you design that.
That's right, yeah. I mean, it actually uses an earlier version of the engine which drives Space Giraffe, so there's quite a lot in common between that, the Xbox 360 visualizer, and the Space Giraffe engine.
You've spanned such literally 20 years of computer technology and computer gaming. What are some of the things that you've noticed that are similar in the way you developed for the Sinclair all the way up into the Xbox 360? Are there similarities?
I think for me there are, because even though we work on much more powerful hardware these days, because we're a small team, we really can't just spend a lot of money and resources on getting artists to design lots of graphics for us. So we have to do a lot of stuff procedurally. Mm-hmm. And we have to construct a reasonably complex game out of a set of fairly simple rules. Otherwise, we'd be there for many years designing a game, and we can't really afford to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So in that respect, I think that our design process is really quite close to the design process which used to exist back in the old days, when you were really constrained by space. You couldn't have anything that was too full of resources or too complex. And so you had to build a game which exhibited complex and interesting behavior from a very simple rule set. And I think we've tried to do that with Space Giraffe as well. And we're trying to adhere to the same design ethos of the old arcade games, whilst using modern resources to make it, obviously look much nicer for the modern age.
Mm-hmm. Over the years, you've developed for Sinclair and the Commodore and the Atari, all of which, may they rest in peace, are no longer with us. What surprises you the most about the current battle for the next gen between, Xbox and the PlayStation and Nintendo Wii? Nintendo Wii kind of took it in a different direction. But what do you think about these, about the quote-unquote console wars?
I know that some people have tried to claim that there's a big difference between the two sort of cutting-edge contenders, if you like. And I think the people who've made the loudest noise about that seem to be trying to cover up the fact that there really isn't that much to choose between them. I think it's interesting that the direction that the Wii has taken. I mean, they've obviously decided that they're going to give up on the horsepower arms race and go off to the side a bit and try something a bit different. It seems to be working very well for them at the moment, and good luck to them, I say. I think perhaps it's nice to see a little bit of different thought being brought to the console wars rather than just another iteration of more and more power piled on.
Are you surprised at how the game industry has really evolved over the years, and now it's like almost in some respects it's bigger than Hollywood? I mean, later in September we have Halo 3 launching, which is going to probably be larger than any motion picture opening in the world. Has it surprised you that it's reached that mainstream level of entertainment?
It surprised me. I mean, we always thought it was going to get more commercial back in the day when it was still like a bunch of us sitting around coding stuff in our bedrooms. We always realised that at one point big money would get involved. I think in the early days we didn't really grasp what would be possible, because it wasn't technologically possible to put huge production values into a game at first. But now, of course, you can, and it's extraordinary. just how much effort and resources it takes to produce a mainstream full-price game. Mm-hmm. And in a way, one of the things that I'm actually quite surprised and yet delighted about is that I'm still able to function within this infrastructure, and that's largely thanks to things like Xbox Live Arcade and the new distribution paradigms which are available through ubiquitous broadband. I would have expected not to be able to function at all within the games business by now, and it seems that instead of that, the possibilities are actually returning for small teams to be able to make a mark in some way.
Yeah, because I mean, you getting back to your Sinclair days, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, didn't you used to store data on like cassette tapes?
Yes, we did. I mean, a lot of the early days of Larmatov were spent selling cassettes. I mean, in the UK, the uptake of disk drives didn't occur until much later. The entire early days of the business were all built on cassette tape.
Yeah, we've got cassette tapes, and then you went to the Commodore VIC, which I believe it had cartridges or cassette or maybe even disk. You know, you could have pretty much done anything. And then to the Atari, which I actually learned how to code on an Atari on the 400 and 800 and the ST series. But now, we're now at the point of digital distribution. So you don't have to deal with any of that anymore. You don't have to worry about printing disks or cassettes in that case.
Yeah.
Has that really freed your mind as a developer?
Absolutely. I mean, that's one thing which was an absolute nightmare, which it put a lot of the smaller software houses completely out of business back in the day. It was the whole business of achieving distribution that became so extraordinarily difficult. I mean, to actually get physical product into shops was a hugely expensive and involved process. And it got to the point where the distribution people wouldn't even look at you if you couldn't afford to spend however many $1,000 per month on advertising. And it just forced a lot of small companies out of the game altogether. We actually survived by moving sideways and doing shareware for a while, which worked for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, no, the actual online electronic distribution is an absolute dream come true, because there's so much hassle and cost which just isn't there. Mm-hmm. If you can get into the electronic distribution channel. And it gives us the chance to do things like offer, you know, try before you buy, which I think is wonderful, especially with a game like Space Giraffe, where not everybody's going to like the game. They can at least download a free demo and decide for themselves. And so they don't end up buying it and feeling disappointed because they've got something they don't quite like.
Right.
It's really excellent. It's to me one of the bright new dawns of the current stage of the video game biz. It really is.
Getting back to Space Giraffe, you know, it was released last week on Xbox Live Arcade. It's 400 points. You know, it's relatively inexpensive relative to some other games that are out there. It's easy. It's fast paced. I mean, it does have a lot of Tempest. It's funny because when I booted it up and I started playing it for the first time, it was like, wait a minute, I'm playing the Xbox Visualizer, because obviously you developed that. What was the name of the Visualizer, by the way? Did we have a name for that?
Yeah, the Visualizer was called Neon.
Neon. So, you know, it had Neon. And then, to really bring the point home, tell us the story about Jay Allard in there.
I had this excellent picture of Jay Allard, which we got from somewhere on the web, I don't remember. And in some of the Neon experimentation, I'd use this picture as a displacement map.
Right.
Because it just fit in really well. And actually, when we actually came out to Microsoft about three Christmases ago to demonstrate an early version of Neon at the Xbox Christmas party.
Right, I remember that. I was there. I remember that.
Yeah. So we had this really early version of Neon, and I had that picture of Jay Allard in there at the time. And so we used it, and I think that amused Jay. I actually met him there at that party, and we got on quite well. Had a bit of a laugh about it. And then that picture has always been hanging around in versions of Neon, because it's just been an excellent, it just always just worked as an excellent demonstration.
Right.
And towards the end of last year, I was getting getting the early tutorial levels of Space Giraffe going. And I just happened to stick this displacement map on, well, basically it's what you see now on level one. And it was just fantastic, because you play the game, and you just see Jay's eyes every now and again flashing out of the background.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy, because I work for Jay, you know, and it was weird because I'm playing it all, and I knew it was going to be there, but all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, did I just see that? It's kind of playing with your mind a little bit, because it's kind of there and then it's not there.
It's kind of quite subtle. It's kind of in the background. At first you just think it could be anything, and then you see his eyes start flashing.
Right. It is a little, and I sent an email over to Jay. Of course, he's doing a lot of Zune stuff now. I tried to get him over to join me for for the interview, but he couldn't make it, and he sends along his regards. So I just want to
tell him hi from me. So we did get in touch with him and ask him if it was all right. Because I didn't want him to be upset. I think he rather liked it.
Oh, I'm sure he would love it. But it's really a fun game. What are some tips you can give me or give the listeners for, you know, how to get good at Space Giraffe? And I want, because I'm having a little bit of a challenge with it now. I'm not having as much as a challenge as the guy from OXM, and we'll talk about that in a second. But let's talk about that right now. So the guy over at OXM gave this like a 2.5, and clearly...
Oh no, you're actually being generous there. He gave us a 2.0, not 2.5.
And you must have read that and said, what the bloody hell?
That's exactly what I said, yeah. Because we were just about to launch, and suddenly this comes up. Oh, somebody posted it on the net, and I thought, that must be a misprint. What's going on here?
Yeah.
And then somebody posted some text, and turns out, yeah, he was really laying into us. I'd shown that game to a lot of people. I knew it was pretty much a Marmite game, as I say. Like, yeah, you either love it or you hate it. But I didn't think anybody would go off on it and really hate it quite so badly as he did. So it was all a bit of a shock. I thought a fairer way to review it would have been to say, all right, I don't like it, I don't get on with it, but some people will like it, because it's obvious that when people do like it, they absolutely love it. But anyway, I think there's been a lot more reviews come out now, and the thing to do, if you have a look on Metacritic, the response to it is extraordinary. I mean, we've got his review down there at 2.0, we've got another one up there at 9.0, we've got everything in between. On the user reviews, it appears to be almost exactly sort of cloven between people giving it 0 and 1 and saying what an awful person I am,
yeah,
and people giving it 9 and 10 and saying it's the best game they've ever played for years. And it's just remarkable. I mean, I've done many games, and I know that my kind of style is a bit of an acquired taste, but I've never had one which has split people quite as vociferously as this one has.
Yeah, it's been quite interesting, because you're absolutely right. You know, it's so polarizing. People, like you said earlier, people either really love it or they really hate it. But again, it's a great opportunity for people, because it's a free download for the demo.
Exactly. It's a free download. It's really cheap to buy. So even if you just want to buy it, and just, you know, even if you don't get on with it, you've only wasted sort of like £3.50, so it's not like anybody could be really disappointed by it, I don't think. But the main thing is it's got people talking. I mean, it's much better to have people talking and being vehement about their opinions, yes, it's brilliant, no, it's rubbish, than it is to have people just ignore it, and it comes out to quietness and being ignored.
Yeah, it's definitely been great. So if I talk to those guys from OXN, I'll definitely pass along your greetings to them.
Yeah, well, I think basically they're going to end up looking a bit silly anyway, because there's so many different opinions about it, that just to say, oh, it's dreadful, full stop, was rather wrong, I think.
I want to talk a little bit, before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit about LlamaSoft and your fondness for the llama, sheep, camel family.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about the background there. What's your connection? Do you have a farm?
Well, I don't have a farm. I have a small holding, which basically I have about 7 acres. I've got 6 sheep, 2 llamas, a goat, and a dog. And I've just always been fond of these creatures, really. Llamas have fascinated me from an early age, because they're just such strange and unusual creatures. They're very odd-looking, but you know, they're very curious and very gentle animals. Sheep I've always loved, because they're just gentle and nice. And I've got tame sheep now that come running up, and they eat lots of digestive biscuits and get spoilt rotten.
Sure.
I've just always liked these animals, and I've always, in some way, put them in the games. Even back in the old days on the Commodore, the games used to be full of sheep and goats and camels and llamas and things.
Yeah, the one thing I also noticed is with Space Giraffe, not only is it visually busy and, you know, it's a lot going on there, it's really exciting, but there's a lot of audio cues in there as well. There's your llamas, you know, the sheep, man, there's all sorts of stuff going on. What's going on with some of those sounds? I mean, they're pretty incredible.
Well, basically, all the sounds fit together. Every single thing that happens in the game has its audio cue. And you're asking me about ways to improve at the game, and I'd say definitely it's listen to all the audio. Learn to see with your ears, really, is what you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
To play Space Giraffe effectively, you need to just open up your senses and perceive the whole thing. And that means listening to all the audio cues. Each one of our sounds represents something which happens in-game. If you learn what that is, then even if you're not looking at where something is happening on screen, you can hear the sound and you can be ready to respond to a threat which may be emerging that's been cued by that sound. Everything that happens in Space Giraffe happens for a reason. Every single thing that you see on screen, everything you hear, corresponds to something that's something important that's happening in the game.
Did you use any of the sounds from your own farm?
There's a sheep bar in there, which is from my old and most beloved sheep, Flossie, who unfortunately passed on a couple of years ago, but uh-huh. She's been in many, many games. So she's definitely in there.
That's great. Tell me about some of the achievements, and how did you come up with them? I mean, there's 12 achievements in there. You've got yourself a little bit of headroom there, but I just wanted to tell us about some of the achievements and how you came up with them.
Well, I wanted to make the achievements more sort of progress-based and based on things that you do rather than score achievements. So I figure score is its own achievement, really. So you have things, some of them based on tasks that are a little bit tricky, like there's an achievement called Uruga Blumenkraft, where you have to keep a flower alive for a whole level, which is really quite a hard thing to do. There's an achievement which you can get actually in the tutorial mode if you score over a certain amount in the tutorial, and I really wanted to encourage people to play the tutorial mode because that would teach them the major differences between this game and Tempest. There's an achievement which you're told how to do in the instructions, which you can gain on level 2, which introduces the major gameplay difference between Space Dwarf and Tempest, that being that you can push the enemies off the top. Mm-hmm. So there's an achievement you can get to do that, which will basically teach you that move. And if you learn that move, then you've basically learned the major difference between Space Dwarf and Tempest, and that's knowledge that will carry you further on into the rest of the game than if you played just like it was a Tempest shoot-em-up.
So I want to ask you a little bit more about achievements. How do achievements feel from a game designer perspective for somebody who's designed so many titles like yourself to be able to kind of put these things in here? They're kind of Easter eggy, but everybody knows what they are.
Yeah, I think achievements are a really good thing. They're one of the nicest things that have come out of the Xbox 360, I think. It's funny, if you play games on other systems, you kind of feel like something's missing because there's no achievements. I think everybody's gotten very used to achievements now, and I'm sure you'll see competitors bringing up very similar systems because as a gamer, it's just nice little chunks of reward. I mean, I'm not a super hardcore gamer, so I can't really compete with people for huge amounts of gamer score from everything I've played. But nonetheless, just getting 15 points here and 20 points here, it's all satisfying. It's all very nice, and it helps you to explore the game as well, because quite often the achievements won't just be for linear progress.
Right.
They'll be for making you explore some aspect of the game which you might not otherwise have tried. So they're a very nice incentive to encourage players to learn and explore within the game.
Yeah, it's definitely, I know a lot of people live and die by the achievements, and that's like one of the first things people do is the moment they drop a game in is they'll hit the Xbox 360 button, open up the guide, and take a look at what achievements are waiting for them.
Yes, definitely. I mean, so that's why I put one in there which was based on the tutorial, so I knew there'd be some people who'd look at it and go, oh, I must play the tutorial now just to get the achievement.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I'm going to let you go, Jeff. I really appreciate your time today. It's been a pleasure to chat with you, and you know the Space Giraffe is great. Can you give us a little hint about some of the projects you may have on the horizon?
It's been real fun to talk here, and I would like to say that we're already planning on our next title. It's something. Well, I mean, it's going to be a nice subtle but complex design. It's going to be another shoot 'em up game. One thing I've learned from Space Giraffe, I'll probably make the tutorial a little bit more involved so that I think we want to try and keep the complexity and the niceness without being quite so divisive perhaps next time.
Got it. So we'll look forward to that, and hopefully it'll come to the Xbox Live Arcade, because we really, you know, it's great to be able to download it and, of course, the demo and have some fun.
I'm sure it'll come to Xbox Live Arcade.
Great. Well, Jeff, I'm going to let you go. One more question before I let you go. Do you want to give out your gamer tag?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it's been fairly obvious when Space Dwarf first came out. My gamer tag is Stinky Ox.
Stinky Ox.
You can see me up near the top of the Space Dwarf leaderboards at the moment.
Well, we'll go ahead and look for Stinky Ox, Jeff. I will. Thanks so much for your time today.
Okay, no problem.
All right, so there we go. Thanks to all my guests who were able to join me for this week's show. Now, E, we talked about. I alluded to it in the Jeff Minner interview. You're using
Space Giraffe.
Space Giraffe is a drinking game? How does that work?
Kinda. So, Space Giraffe is You got to play it. So first of all, I'm not going to try and describe it. Right. If you haven't played it,
well, Jeff tried to do that, and it was it's yeah. kind of you kind of have to experience it.
Go download the demo,
right,
and check it out for yourself, and come back. It's a game that, number one, if you don't, you've got to go through the tutorial.
Right.
If you just play it, you know, without understanding what everything does, you're missing half the fun, at least. But I was playing it in a large room full of people, probably, you know, anywhere from 5 to 20 people watching, with the sound up pretty loud, and everyone had a drink, and we were having a good time. And yeah, it Space Giraffe is a drinking game. And you can pretty much make that up as you go along. It's a great group game. It actually...
How many people do you have at your house for PAX?
Well, guests, the high was 14 guests in an evening, but the party was 40-something.
Yeah, I missed the party.
People were coming in and going out. And
I heard, yeah, actually, one of the guys... who was it? Who emailed me that was at your party? Somebody emailed me that was at your party. Like, one of the guys from... Was it Insomniac?
Yeah, there was a guy from Insomniac.
Yeah, he was the guy that interviewed when I was down in...
So he came with... I think he came with Batgirl.
That's who he was with at the other one.
Yeah. So I may have that misstated. We had people from all over. There were a bunch of Xbox employees. Some of the Xbox MVPs came by. We had some people from the Red versus Blue community. We had friends of friends. There were a large assortment of demographics represented at the party.
You had quite the party.
Yeah. A bunch of the Cave Girls stopped by, some of the PMS girls. It was fun. We had a great time. We had four 360s set up and the Wii.
Right.
Which is actually a story of itself.
Why?
I'll get there.
Okay.
But the big hits were... Halo.
It was James. That's who it was. It was James Stevenson. I'm just remembering it.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead.
So Halo was a big hit. Guitar Hero 2 got a ton of play.
Sure.
And Space Giraffe. We had Space Giraffe going for a couple of hours with different people cycling through and playing it. And what is this? How do I play? And whoa! So, and getting, you know, the responses were all over the map. Like, the first level, when you see Jay Allard's head.
Right, which Jeff talked about in the interview.
Yeah, some people didn't see it. Some people were like, wow, oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And there's so many different things that you can kind of, that just all of a sudden click as you're playing it. Like, some people don't even realize that the main character is a giraffe, and then you're like, you're shooting out of your hooves, and you're doing
Yeah, you got to connect the dots for him.
And then my favorite part of the entire game
is
at the end of each level, it gives you a rating,
mm-hmm.
and it's got a great sense of humor. Things like, you are unambitious.
Right.
You are meh.
Yeah.
You are not too rubbish.
Yeah.
And what made it even better was a friend of mine from Bungie was there. He's Scottish. So hearing this all in a Scottish accent was awesome.
All that much better.
Yeah, especially a drunk Scottish accent.
I think I've only ever heard Scots drunk.
That's a good point. But that and Guitar Hero 2 were going all night long. It's amazing how Guitar Hero, if you don't have it, that is the ultimate, you know, party game.
It is.
There's nothing better with a crowd than Guitar Hero.
All right, we got to do a payoff for Name the Game. Which was... It's almost a month.
Was it the first one we had to run twice?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
So this was... So here it is. Here's the sound. All right, that was... you know what that was? That was NCAA Football 08. It was in the menus.
Yep.
And a lot of people completely missed it. And then we gave the hint the last show we did together. It was
right.
A sports game. So I want to congratulate... We did two winners... Gaucho for Life and Brian Tillett. So congratulations, guys. What did I give away? I'll send you prizes.
I don't remember what it
was. Yeah, it was so long ago.
Was it a movie? Was it copies of 300?
No, I think it may have been. You're right. I've got those sitting right
familiar.
Here. So I'll send those out to you guys and some headsets. We'll hook you up. So congratulations. Gaucho for Life, and I'm sorry, did I say, yeah, Monkey Doo 22, so congratulations.
So, speaking of movies,
yes,
300 was clearly the movie of PAX this year. I think we watched it 6 or 7 times.
You did?
So last year we watched Grandma's Boy over and over and over again.
Right.
And part of why we kept watching it over and over is people were coming like in and out at different points.
Right.
Like they'd fall asleep at the beginning or at the end, and so it just, wait, I wanted to see that, and it kept getting played. happened with 300.
Good.
And we watched it a couple times without the picture-in-picture, a couple times with the picture-in-picture. That movie's so
great. So I want to talk about HD DVDs after this, but first we have to play the Name the Game for this week. So here it is. All right, there you go. That's Name the Game for this week. If you think you know what that is, send an email to major@xbox.com. major@xbox.com. Please include what your guess is in the subject line, and then in the body, please put the name, your gamer tag, or your name, and where you're from, optionally, so I know where you are.
But you should definitely include your guess.
Yes, you should definitely include. I've had people email me.
And just, with no guess?
Yeah, and just, here's my gamer tag. I'm like, all right, what am I doing that for? Also, what else do we want to talk about? You know what? We got to pay off BioShock. So the last show we did with Ken Levine,
yes,
we had faceplates and some shirts to give away.
That's right.
And what do they have to do? I'll let you explain it while I pull these up.
So in that particular post on your blog, they had to, in the comments, write a mini review.
A meta review.
You know, 250 words, something like that, without giving any spoilers.
Right. So the first person that won a BioShock faceplate, I'm not going to read them because, it's too long. But Ben, I don't want to give out his last name to protect his data. He wrote a nice one here. Baron Dorange, BaronDorange is his gamer tag. I assume it says username. I assume it's his gamer tag. And then those two guys actually emailed me. And then one of the ones from the site was from MST3K space Crow.
Mystery Theater 3000.
Thank you. So I'll put a link up to his. You can actually read his. It's up on the blog, so I'll put a link to that. So I want to congratulate those guys. They get these cool BioShock faceplates. See those?
Those are very cool faceplates.
They also sent me some Little Sister t-shirts, which I was wearing at PAX, by the way.
You were, yes. No,
nobody picked up on that.
I did.
Well, you did. It's because I said, look at my shirt.
Yeah. Okay.
But congratulations, guys. That was really great. Let's talk about HD DVDs because it's been an interesting week.
It's been a very interesting week.
Two weeks.
Two. Yeah.
You want to talk about the DreamWorks thing?
So the DreamWorks Paramount announcement. So they were both in the Blu-ray camp and in the HD DVD camp,
mm-hmm.
and they announced that they're going HD DVD exclusive, with the exception of the Steven Spielberg movies,
right.
which will still be on both platforms.
And a lot of people are wondering why.
Well,
I have a theory.
See, here's what I find really amusing. So this is obviously a very emotionally charged thing with a lot of people with a lot of personal investment in one format or the other, you know, companies betting one way or the other. And a bunch of news stories came out saying that, oh, this happened because they got paid and this much money and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, guess what, people? That's not new to the high-def format wars. This has been going on in retail ever since there was retail.
Yep.
Every time you walk into a store and you see Blu-ray on the end caps at Target, guess what? Target didn't put them there just because they want to. Target got paid to put them there.
It's just like when you walk down the grocery store and there's an end cap of Diet Coke or Pepsi or whatever, fruit juice, whatever it is.
Yep.
That's how they make their what they call them, slotting fees, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah, I'm not.
But yeah, that's normal retail business. That's how the game works.
Yep.
Personally, I like anything that makes HD DVD do well. I have a bunch of them. I want them to continue to be playable on lots of devices.
I actually have an HD DVD story. So when I had the family over, my mom's husband, not my dad, but my mom's husband, nice guy, very quiet, and I said, you want me to put this on for you? You know, I got some movies for her. He's like, I don't want to watch any movies. And I had Planet Earth.
Oh.
So I throw that on, and they don't have a high-def TV. And he was just out of his mind.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, oh, my. He just could not believe it. So you and I have talked extensively about Planet Earth.
Yeah. I picked up two more over PAX because we were watching a ton of movies. And I went out, and I wound up picking up Good Shepherd and TMNT.
That's hard to find.
And, yeah, so I'd been meaning to order TMNT from Amazon for a while and kept spacing it. I think it's probably in my cart, but I never hit order.
I want to see what's in e-shopping cart. Can we do that sometime?
Yeah.
At Amazon.
Yeah, I'm a little scared. But I'd forgotten to order it, which is usually how I buy this stuff.
Right.
And so one of the days of PAX, it's like, well, let's stop at the nearby electronics store and pick it up. And
blue
the
or
first
red.
Three places were out. So
you and I did this like a month ago, remember?
Yeah. So, well, but that was with Bourne Supremacy.
Right.
So I went to blue. I went to red. I went to Fry's. They were out.
Fry's was out?
And yep, Fry's was out. And I finally found it at, I think it was my second blue store.
Okay, so you finally got your hand on
it. Finally got it. Right. But it was just, it was annoying. It's like, what do you have? And so I'd ask, oh, we're sold out. Sorry. It's like, so on the one hand, I'm thinking, oh, that's good. On the other hand, I'm thinking, I want a copy.
Oh, give me, yeah, you want your copy.
And then I picked up a bunch of regular DVDs while I was at it. And then somehow we never got around to watching TMNT.
How did you not get around to watching it?
We watched The Good Shepherd, right, which was awesome, except we didn't start it until like midnight or 1 in the morning.
Right.
And I fell asleep, so I haven't seen the whole movie. So I need to go back and watch it again. And we watched, what else did we? We picked up Night of the Comet. So I got Night of the Comet for $4.99.
On HD?
No, on regular DVD.
I'm
but
sorry.
This was
keep
when
up, Larry.
I, when
keep
I was
up.
At Fry's.
Right.
I was, you know, looking, I was bummed they didn't have TMNT, kept looking around and started grabbing things. $4.99. I couldn't pass that up. So we watched that. Absolutely hilarious. Picked up Dragonheart and Dragonheart 2. I didn't even know there was a Dragonheart 2. Both of them for $10. Those got watched.
So you really got a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Picked up a whole bunch of things. Most of them got watched except oddly TMNT. Although, this is the Xbox 101 lead-in. I just did it by accident.
Okay.
So, DVD.
There is actually a reason we did this. We're talking about DVDs and HD DVDs. E.
Yes.
So, here's... Hold on. Well, you know what we do when we have Xbox 101.
Come on, Funky.
Xbox 101 with Major Nelson.
Yeah. Okay. So, I want to preface this with, I'm doing this all from memory, so if I make a mistake or two, you don't need to, you know, bombard my inbox with, you know, oh, you got this part wrong. But the general gist of this is I get a lot of people asking me, and I see posted in forums a lot, hey, do I need the Xbox HD DVD player to upscale DVDs?
Okay.
The answer to the question.
Fair question.
First of all, the answer to the question is no.
Okay.
The Xbox 360 can upscale DVDs without the HD DVD add-on.
Okay.
So a couple of caveats. Number one, what on earth is upscaling?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
So...
E, what's upscaling?
Gee, Major, thanks for asking.
No problem.
Upscaling is basically taking a picture, like a DVD, which is 480p at its native resolution, and creating essentially data that isn't really there out of the data that is there.
Scaling.
Scaling to create a higher quality image. So you can take that 480p image and throw it at your television, and the television will put it up in whatever, you know, format you tell it to, 480p, 720p, 1080i.
Whatever you have your Xbox set to.
Right.
Your output set to.
Or you can upscale it, meaning look at the data that's there, make smart decisions about, well, if these three pixels all next to each other are blue, then if there was going to be another pixel in here, it would probably be blue too. So you kind of manufacture extra data out of the image to make it look better than it would if you just stretch it
right.
to fill the screen. Now, personal opinion, I think the 360 does a pretty nice job of this. We watched a bunch of DVDs, including some oldies like Night of the Comet from 1984.
Oh, Jesus.
And it actually looked surprisingly good on the big screen. Now, here's the caveats.
Okay.
In order for the Xbox 360 to upscale a standard DVD, you must be using one of two kinds of connections.
Okay.
You have to be connected over VGA.
Yes.
Or over HDMI. It can't upscale over... component over
composite.
Any other kind of connection. Right. It can't. It's not a technical thing. It's a legal thing, but that's the way it works. So you need VGA or HDMI. I have no idea if it can do it over SCART or...
Yeah, any of that stuff. Sorry, guys, don't know.
Yeah, sorry, I don't have that. I'm not familiar with it off the top of my head.
Send E a SCART TV.
Yeah, and I will try it. but over VGA and HDMI, it can do that natively. You don't need the HD DVD player. You don't have to install anything. You don't have to configure anything. Just connect it up and away you go. And it actually does a surprisingly good job of making standard DVDs look high-def-ish.
So that is our Xbox 101 for this week.
It is.
Thank you, E. So that's how you get more out of your DVDs. You know what I got in for HD DVD that was sent to me?
Ooh, I do. Very cool. I want to borrow.
It is the first season of Heroes.
Yes.
And I'm going to get Jesse, who's one of the executive producers, on here on the show probably in the next couple weeks. He and I were going back and forth on email earlier today.
Now, didn't I see... We may have to edit this out, but didn't I see an announcement about episode 1 of Heroes in high def on Video Marketplace?
Yeah, I think it's up now.
Didn't it? Yeah, it's up there right now.
You know what
now.
Else is up there?
But wait, isn't it up there for free?
I believe so.
I think so. That's cool. I got to check that out.
Not for long, you know, while supplies last, et cetera, exactly. Until it decides not to be free. The other thing that's up there in the U.S. for Video Marketplace is Family Guy,
yes.
First and second season. That's going up this week.
Right.
Some of it's up now and some of it will be coming soon.
Considering how popular South Park is, Family Guy probably be pretty popular.
Giggity.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that. You know, it's interesting you're talking about the upscaling, because I was having a similar... I don't want to say issue, but I was running up against that with my new TiVo, my TiVo HD.
Oh, the macro blocking.
Well, no,
issue?
No, no. Well, on the front of it, you have the option. It's interesting. You can like shut off all the LEDs, you know, when it's recording and whatnot.
Right.
But one of them, it shows you what it's outputting to.
Okay.
And so I was when I just out of the box when I hooked my TiVo HD up a few weeks ago. It was sending, since it was HDMI to my TV set, it was, you know, it sends that resync signal.
Right.
So whenever I change channels, I would see like the time and the input, meaning that the input was resynced. So it's driving me crazy, and I'm like, all right. And so I finally figured it out. I think I ended up fixing it to 1080i or 720p output of the TiVo.
Okay.
And then the TV obviously just kind of stays stable and deals with it that way.
Gotcha.
So maybe it's not a TiVo 101, but if your TiVo's doing this, go ahead and change it.
It's, yeah.
I changed my TiVo card. Did I tell you the story? I had the two
cable cards.
I had two cable cards from Comcast. I went in last week and changed it to one M card.
Oh, okay. I didn't know you could do that.
Which is the multi-stream card.
Yeah.
One of the first people apparently to do that.
So why did you do that? Just
because? No, because with Comcast, and it varies, your mileage may vary, but you get the first cable card for free and the second one you have to pay for. Like a couple bucks a month.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I went and swapped them both in and said, give me one M card where I don't have to pay anything a month because it's one card. But that one card has both tuners in it or ability to dual tune.
Gotcha.
That's why.
Okay.
Because I'm cheap.
And well, yeah, it's a couple bucks a month. It adds up.
Right. So it took 6 phone calls to Comcast in about 7 hours before we finally figured it out.
Oh, boy.
So it's just new.
So
I don't blame Comcast.
Figuring out what card to get?
No. What happened was is I put the card in, and it wasn't getting any of my premium channels. It wasn't getting HBO and Cinemax and the rest of those. So I finally reached this one woman who was very nice, and we started the process from the top over again, and it finally worked.
Cool.
So she called me back, and it was really nice. I had a really good experience with them, but it took a little while because it's so new.
Right.
So my TiVo HD is I love it.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Good high def DVRs are amazing things.
I was watching last night The Departed.
Ooh, yeah.
Gosh. Although, you know, now that I think about it, I think it recorded off Cinemax HD.
Yeah.
I think they bleeped some words out.
On Cinemax?
Yeah, now that I think about it, I got to go back and watch it again. That's interesting.
Huh.
Okay. But anyway, so that's my TiVo HD update.
I don't know why that makes me think of it, but great DVD kind of along those lines that I just saw for the first time not too long ago.
Yes.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
That's hilarious.
That's a great movie.
Oh.
That is a great movie.
I don't know how I missed that.
I have a feeling we're missing things.
Well, we haven't really talked about PAX.
Yeah, okay.
We talked about your panel.
Yeah.
We talked about the party. That's about it. So, I mean, there was a ton of stuff going on at PAX.
Yeah, tell me about it.
I got to see a fraction of what was actually there. So, just in our booth, I mean, there were the big Mass Effect demos. And didn't we... There was a giveaway of a Mass Effect 360,
they
I think?
They did something. I can't keep track
of it. Every time they ran the Mass Effect demo, the booth was just... Like,
packed.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. There were a bunch of kiosks that they had... There was Viva Pinata Party Animals. There was... What else was there? There's a bunch of games.
Rock Band?
I don't remember. The Rock Band was in the booth. That's right.
Rock Band?
Rock Band was... Oh, that game looks amazing.
Yep, Rock Band was there.
There was the Gamer Chicks pod thing.
The Gamer Chicks were there.
Mini booth, I guess. Yep. So Diva, Trixie, and Kitty were... Not only were they signing up new Gamer Chicks, but did you get a princess photo taken?
No.
As various guys were wandering by the Gamer Chicks booth, they had a nice little pink tiara and accessories that it wasn't really optional. It was more of, come here, and it got put
on
you. I got
my picture taken with somebody wearing it.
No, you got to wear it and get your picture taken with maybe one of the gamers.
I got enough bad pictures out on the internet of me. I don't need any more.
That's true enough. I have some of them. So there was that. There was Pink Godzilla had some really cool stuff at their booth. There was...
Well, we were right across the aisle from Ubi.
So Ubi was there with all the Frag Doll candidates.
Yeah.
So most of the Frag Dolls were there, plus all the candidates for the new positions. So I got to tell you about this thing at Pink Godzilla because you'll think this is cool. So if you still have your old NES cartridges, so they had what was essentially an NES for $50. So, but it was the guts of an NES in a really tiny package along with wireless peripherals. So you could put this thing on your TV, plug your old NES cartridge into it, and then play with a wireless NES joystick from your couch or whatever.
Really?
It was really freaking cool.
That's interesting.
So if I still had my NES cartridges,
yeah,
I would have been all over this thing. It was just neat.
That's fun.
What else was there? The Red vs. Blue guys were there, so I picked up season 5 on
DVD.
Did you see
this? Did you see this, by the way? Look at
this. What is
this? Move this box.
Okay.
They sent me a whole bunch of shirts.
They did? Oh, cool. Which ones?
All of them.
Oh, nice.
They sent me all these shirts.
See, I love these. I have a bunch of these.
Yeah, so these are great shirts.
Okay, nice. Thank you,
Red vs. Blue guys. I'm gonna give these out to some people around here.
So they were there, ran into Luke McKay, some of the other guys. Of course, there was the big Penny Arcade booth with all their shirts and things.
Yep.
There was just so much cool stuff. I mean, it was E3 for the public.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And it was so nice to see. It was in such a bigger space this year that at least the exhibition hall, you could walk, you could breathe. It was great.
Yeah, there was a lot of room.
Yeah, which last year it was so packed.
Yeah.
Made
I don't know how many people they had there, but every time I went, it was you know, wherever I went, it was packed.
Yeah. The only downside was the spaces they were using for the panels were not big enough. So, like, I went to the women gaming panel that Trixie moderated,
right,
and there were just people everywhere. Not enough chairs. People, like,
that's not
10
a bad
deep
problem.
Standing past the chairs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice, but it kind of felt like some of them were kind of, like, where do we have space left? Oh, we'll put them there.
Yeah.
They could have packed more people into the one that you moderated.
Yeah, there was some. So, it was in the back. There was about a couple dozen empty seats, which is fine.
Yeah. I didn't get to nearly as many of the panels as I wanted to, but that was really, more than anything, that was... My house is nowhere near the convention center, and trying to get people up in the morning and, you know, okay, I know you're still drunk, wake up, go take a shower, we're getting in the car,
yeah,
and trying to herd, you know, a dozen people.
Not so much.
That was difficult.
I was doing that with my family, and they weren't even drunk.
Maybe they should have been.
Yeah, maybe that's exactly right.
But it was a great event.
Oh, I got to tell you the story. So, speaking of this.
Is this about your family being drunk?
Yeah, this is what I wanted to tell you.
Okay.
So, here at Microsoft, we don't do tours.
Right.
Okay, but we have a visitor center, which is open to the public.
Yes.
Which is kind of like a museum. It's a little room. It has some demos in it and shows Vista and this interesting photos of Bill Gates that we've all seen. All the different stuff. It's kind of interesting.
Right.
So we go there. My sisters want to go there. So I'm like, okay, bring the family there. And they're walking around. And they have a little corner where they have Xbox games, you know, Viva and Forza. Yeah. So we're walking through, and I'm letting them kind of just... They had a prototype of Surface, which is actually really kind of cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was playing with that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I'm talking to my sister, and my brother-in-law has a couple of the girls, and they go into the Xbox room, and kind of like, what are they playing? So I kind of walk in with my sister, and this is a true story. The 3 and 5-year-old are sitting there playing Gears of War, and my sister goes berserk.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, and they're right next to a Viva Pinata, you know, kiosk.
They don't want to play Viva. They
and
want to chainsaw
frankly,
people.
The 3-year-old was doing a pretty good job. She was one button push away from getting through a door. You know, she's like hitting up against the door, thunk, thunk, thunk.
Right.
But I've been meaning to tell you that story. It was just a funny little, one of those funny moments that we had.
Viva or Gears? We want Gears.
So it was a.
I can totally see.
The other thing is I sent you these photos.
Which
I want
photo?
To thank, you'll know in a second when I tell you. I want to thank the guys at Centricom.net.
Oh, yes.
Because
yes.
Centricom.net is where MajorNelson.com and all the podcasts and whatnot, they're all hosted there. It's in Findlay, Ohio.
Where is Findlay, Ohio?
Right now it's underwater.
Oh, a good
so
point.
I was watching the news last week, and I'm sitting there watching the news, and they're doing these flyovers of floods in the Midwest in Ohio. and they say, yeah, Findlay, Ohio is the entire, you know, entire place is underwater. And I'm looking at them going, Findlay, Ohio, why do I know that? And I'm like, I got my laptop open. I'm going, oh my God, that's where Centricom is. So I email Patrick, who's our contact at Centricom. I'm like, you okay? What's going on? And he sent back some photos, which I forwarded over to you, where like stuff's underwater.
Yep.
Like their operations center was dangerously close. One of them, I guess. They've got a bunch of server rooms.
Yeah.
So MajorNelson.com was almost submerged, but but thanks to the guys at Centricom, they had all everything in action, and they were taking care of us.
Nice work, guys.
So it was pretty scary. So I'm glad you guys are okay out there in the Midwest. Everybody in the Midwest, I'm glad you're drying out. But yeah, I sent you those photos. We hadn't talked about that.
That was hilarious.
So it was like, boo, those poor guys were busy, busy, busy.
And it took me a minute too, because I was with all the people here for PAX, I was pretty cut off from the news.
Right.
I hadn't been reading any of my RSS feeds. I hadn't been watching much TV.
Right.
And I saw that and I was like, why would it be underwater?
Right. What's going on here? Now it all makes perfect sense. So, you want to talk about gadgets at all? Do you have anything? I mean, I talked about my HD TiVo, which I continually talk about.
It was the gadget collection at my house was insane.
I mean, yeah, it was all DSs, though.
No, not DSs. It was, I mean, there were phones, there were MP3 players. I mean, people walking in the door, and, you know, some of these people, you know, they've been on planes for a while, they've been in airports, and they had to make connections. And, hey, do you have a charger for one of these? Do you have a charger for this? And by the end of the first night where we had most of the people there, you know, there's a couple of Zunes getting recharged, there's a couple of iPods, like three or four Razors, someone else had a Dash.
Doesn't Razor use USB?
It USB, but I have a whole bunch of friends with Razors,
right.
And I don't have one, but somehow I've accumulated like four or five Razor chargers.
Right.
So they were just scattered all over the place with Razors.
Just got to set up a recharge station.
Well, that was the mess, was everything turned into the recharge station. So there were like eight laptops in the room, all, you know, jammed on my Wi-Fi. I have a surge protector under one of the couches.
Right.
It overflowed. Out of slots, so they were plugged in elsewhere. All the phones were charged in.
Ease fire hazard.
Yeah, everyone. I mean, when you put together, you know, a dozen geeks, and every one of them's got a cell phone and an MP3 player and a laptop
and a DS.
Yeah, but this year we did not flip any breakers, which was kind of cool. So
they did at XO7 in Canada.
I heard about that.
They didn't invite me this year. Why didn't you guys invite me? I'm looking at you, Canada.
We could look at Jade.
Jade, why didn't you invite me?
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't invite me.
That's not cool.
So
you couldn't have gone.
Yeah, they had it. Yeah, because it was like, because Leipzig was last week. I missed out on that because of the family in town. The PAX was this week, and they had it basically in the middle of this, so I wouldn't have been able to go anywhere.
It was like the day after PAX.
Yeah,
and
it was
like John or somebody like zipped up there real
quick. Yeah, John from the Gamerscore blog went up there, and he's got some photos up there, but it was just like, yeah, okay.
It was crazy.
Speaking of that, I got my travel. You want to hear my travel schedule?
Oh, boy. Hit me.
This is crazy. All right. So I'm going to be down in Orlando for the World Cyber Games. I'm going to be hosting those with Jeff Keighley.
Now, this is the finals?
Semifinals.
Semifinals. Okay.
So I'll be leaving on Thursday, September 13th to Orlando.
How many pages?
This is a four-page itinerary.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll be there until Monday. Monday I leave via Washington Dulles to go to Tokyo Narita. I arrive in Narita on September 18th.
Wait. So you're going from Florida up to Washington,
and then
to catch a flight all the way west to Japan.
Correct.
Okay.
And then I'm in Japan until Sunday, September 23rd. From there, I leave via Chicago O'Hare to arrive on September 23rd in Newark, New Jersey, to go to New York for the Halo launch. And then I'll be in New York for a couple days, and then on Wednesday the 26th I return. So
you're going to be at all the big, you know, you'll be at the big fancy New York Halo launch.
Right.
While I'm hanging out here at, you know, probably the fun Halo launch, and I'll be playing while you're working.
Yeah, I won't actually probably even get hands on in the game until I'll be dead after this. Probably till that weekend.
I'm going to finish single player.
Yeah, there's going to be people that are actually finished before I even start, because I'm going to be traveling all over the place.
Oh, that blows.
The one thing I don't have is I don't have how many miles I'm traveling. I've got
that's a lot.
1,000 here, 2,000, 2,500. Oh, this is crazy. 3, 10, 6, and 6, and 12. It's almost 20,000 miles.
Oh, jeez.
In just in just within eight or ten days.
So you're going to need some new DS games.
Yeah,
you're going to
buy some ones over there
on your Zune.
Yep.
You're definitely going
to
need some.
I'm going to have to be sleeping. I may load. I may load Halo 2 Vista on my laptop.
Yeah, but you. Well, if you've got some spare batteries, that'll work.
You know what? BioShock on my laptop.
BioShock PC is going to. On your laptop, though?
Yeah, that's
true. I don't know if
that's a good point.
Because once you've seen how good it looks on a 360 or a high end PC.
I got to tell you something. That everybody knows this. I'm a fan of audio. That is some creepy audio.
Well, so I've played now, I think, three long night stretches of, like, you know, start at like 8 p.m.
That's what I do.
Turn off all the lights, crank the sound. And I did this a couple times actually at PAX with a whole bunch of people there, just like everyone kind of hanging out and watching and playing through as I was playing. And there were a whole bunch of times that I was jumping.
Yeah.
And there was, I could kill a couple of people. You know who you are. They were mucking around on their laptops while I was playing. And I'm getting towards the end of the game. I'm not there yet. But it was very environmental.
And, no spoilers.
Right. But things were jumping out.
Right.
It was fairly scary. And they were playing with, like, custom backgrounds or something in MSN Messenger so that when you nudge someone, it would crazy audio.
Right.
And they put in some high-pitched scream.
Yeah.
And they would wait until I got to, opening a door or there'd be noise behind me.
Yeah, they'd
hit it. And, like, three times I, like, right out of my chair. But it's incredibly immersive. It's great.
I'm gonna play some more of it tonight.
I've got to finish it soon.
I don't want to talk about any more about it because I don't want to do any spoilers.
We should, like, right before Halo 3. Well, you're not gonna be around to record shows. We're gonna have to find.
I don't know what my show schedule's like. I'm sorry, people. I have no idea.
We're gonna have to find time to talk about BioShock once we've given everyone time to finish it.
Right. Maybe that's October.
Ugh.
God, this is crazy. This is crazy.
It's the best time of year, though. There's so much stuff coming.
All right, well, we're going to... This show's gone on forever.
Far too long.
Far too long.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to say before we wrap it up and get back to gaming?
I think I'm good. It's time to go finish BioShock.
Do you... What are the... So, it's Labor Day this week.
Labor Day this weekend.
What are the... you know what I was trying to figure out? I think we've announced what the...
arcade games for next week.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Cyberball, baby.
Let's talk about that.
If you remember Cyberball 2072, all I need to say is, welcome to Cyberball.
So Cyberball 2072 and Fatal Fury Special are coming to Live Arcade next Wednesday.
That I'm not big on the whole fighter thing, but Cyberball, I can't wait.
400 points. That's and then Fatal Fury is also 400 points. So we got two of them next week. You know, I was talking with somebody.
The best play in Cyberball 2072, run and gun. The running back splits out left and then goes up the sideline. Guaranteed touchdown if you run it near the end zone. Every time.
And that's E's tip.
The frightening thing is that I remember that after all these years.
Yeah, you sure do. So that's this week. Next week I'll have a show. I don't know when my show's going to be after that because of this goofy travel schedule.
You may have to just, blog or something.
I'll be recording from I'm going to get some stuff together from the road. I'm going to see if I can get, let's go with the guys from, I think Brian from Kotaku. I'm going to try to corner him or maybe CheapyD in Japan.
Oh, you and CheapyD were going to hook up.
Yeah.
And you have to bring me some cool stuff back.
Yep. So we're going to do, what do you want?
It's Akihabara. There's going to be stuff.
CheapyD, if they're listening, E needs something. I don't know.
Yes. Cool, shiny things I can't get here.
I'm going to be going with Albert. We talked about Albert in the Halo interview.
Albert of the Office of...
Office of Toys.
Yeah.
Don't ever call them dolls. Did I tell you what... I told you what happened at Comic-Con, didn't I?
Which...
I don't know if I told the story.
I don't know.
He was at Comic-Con, and he bought... He's buying everything. He bought a limited edition Grimace from McDonald Land. But he bought two of them.
Yes. Oh,
and I touched him. He's like, don't touch them. He was screaming at me. Like, dude, it's just Grimace.
They're not dolls.
They're not dolls.
No.
All right. We're gonna wrap it up now because we have to. Because we're out of time today. I apologize, E. You know, I know you wanted to... Did you cover everything you wanted to cover?
Close enough.
So, all right. So I want to thank my friends who are no longer underwater. While they were underwater, you think it's tied to BioShock?
That's it.
That's the thing.
Rapture.
Way to go thematically, CentreCom. Guys at CentreCom.net, providing MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured and now dry hosting environment. I want to thank CashFly for their services. They're responsible for you getting the show when you want it, where you want it, and how you want it. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thanks for downloading my show. Have fun, play fair, send feedback, or file a complaint. And God only knows when I'll talk to you. Thank you. E?
Bye, everybody.
Later. All right, it's after show time. E, we don't have a lot of time for after show.
I
want to get back to playing Bioshock.
Yes, and I want to look through and see if there's any good T-shirts.
Did I show you these?
What? Well, the guys, I don't know what these are. So.
I'm going to show you. These guys from Armory Tech, Randy from Randall, from Armory Tech sent these to me. These are the...
Since the beginning, warriors have stored their weapons in
these
armory.
Are these things.
Oh, the controller holders.
Yeah, so they actually wanted us to sign a couple and send them back. So
sure.
check out armorytech.com, and they've got...
these are kind of cool.
Yeah, they're kind of cool.
Are these black instead
and
of
then,
white?
And
oh,
then they sent
white.
Me a T-shirt okay. that says...
IT bag noobs.
So I'm gonna have to have that on there.
Nice.
But so they sent those over because a couple folks want them. So you and I need to sign those and send them back. So
sure.
That's for our good friends at Armory Tech. Why don't you describe what this thing is? Because people are probably listening and confused.
So it's a wall mount controller holder.
Mm-hmm.
That it's basically a vertical plate with four sets of pegs, so that you
at an angle.
Yeah, so that you can basically. Stick four controllers on there and just get them out of the way. And you know, instead of putting them on top of the TV or in a drawer or whatever, they're easy to find, keeps them from getting all tangled. You've got one here on your office wall.
I love it.
So works pretty good.
It's phenomenal. So anyway, I wanted to thank those guys for that. Now you have a breakfast story. Tell me a breakfast story.
Oh, yeah. So I'm... one of those people who I love great 24-hour breakfast joints or old-school diner. Yeah, Waffle House, anywhere with good biscuits and gravy, that kind of thing.
Is that what you like, biscuits and
so
gravy?
I'm a big biscuits and gravy fan. So, and there's some killer places like that around here. But one of the days, it was Sunday, a whole bunch of us were going to be late getting into the show.
Right.
And it was the night after the party, or the day after the party, and the party had gone till... I finally went to bed at like 4:30 and I still had guests playing games.
Right.
And I was like, guys, I got to be up in a couple of hours, you know, keep playing, fall asleep on the couch, whatever. I'll see you later.
Right.
So we get up the next morning. Everyone's real slow going. It's like, you know what? We've already missed the start of the show. The first thing we absolutely have to be there is in like 2 hours. Why don't we go get some food? And there's a place in Issaquah called the 12th Avenue Cafe.
Okay.
Great little place.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to go check this out. Oops, it's Sunday, you know, noon, and
packed.
There's this enormous line of people outside.
Sure.
And I take a look, and there wasn't even anyone to ask how long it's going to be. So I'm like, okay, we got to wave off. This is not going to work.
So where are you going to go?
Well, the other place I was thinking about was downtown Seattle, close to the convention.
Which
center.
One?
The Hurricane.
Okay.
Which is the 24/7 place. But everyone was like, no, we're too hungry. We got to go somewhere nearby.
Must eat now.
So there's a Denny's across the street. So we're like, okay, we'll go to Denny's. So, you know, we go there. Hey, there's like a 5-minute wait. They're able to seat a party at 8. We're doing good. We order, waiting for the food to show up. My phone rings, and it's Tony. Hey, by the way, your girlfriend's really, really sick. Can you come get her? It's like, oh. So I didn't get my food. So I go get her, take her home.
What happened? Did she eat something?
I think stress, lack of sleep, all that kind of stuff. So she's got a nasty head cold. She's
okay.
Hacking up stuff. Her throat doesn't sound good. But she's going to be okay. But anyway, so that blows up Sunday. I didn't get my breakfast, which later turned out to be a good thing because there were a bunch of people going, you know, it was not the best breakfast.
What did you order that somebody else ate?
Steak and eggs.
Okay.
Which I figured at Denny's, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be good. It's hard to mess that up, you know. So the next day, we got to take a bunch of people to the airport. So we plan this so that we're going to have time to go eat. We go back to 12th Avenue Cafe. Oh, wow. Phenomenal, like, diner breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
So I order this thing called the Montana Special. It's basically a giant plate of potatoes, peppers, onions, you know, bacon, sausage, all that.
It's a heart attack.
Yeah. And then I got some biscuits and gravy to go on top of it and mix up with it. Cheese. It's to die for. Everyone else is eating pancakes and
okay.
Eggs Benedict. And this one girl, who I swear to God weighs like 95 pounds, she almost put away like a large stack of pancakes. It was amazing. But the food was just phenomenal. Oh, it was so good.
That's it? That's the story?
Well, there's more. You're distracting me.
It's a long story. Okay.
Okay, I'll stop.
No, just pick up the pace.
I'm done. That's
let's that's give me the payoff.
That's the story. Food was good. That's the payoff.
That's it?
That's what you get for whining.
I'm not whining. I'm just like, oh, let's get to the story already.
No, you were whining. It's the after show.
I know.
I wouldn't ramble. Well, I would ramble like this during the main show, but not on purpose. During the after show, we can do that on purpose.
All right, so finish. Go ahead. It's the after show, so finish.
No, I don't want to.
Please finish. Don't make me beg. Just finish.
No, that's pretty much it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Do you have anything else you want to talk about?
What else happened? I mean, there was PAX, and then there was PAX, and you had Doritos.
Where are my box of Doritos?
That's a good question. I'm wondering where my Big Daddy is. I was supposed to have a Big Daddy. I don't have a Big Daddy.
I think yours is coming.
I'm going to have to go check on that. So, are you playing anything besides BioShock?
No.
But I'm playing BioShock, Space Giraffe, and Guitar Hero. Oh, and Bomberman. There's Bomberman DLC.
Yeah, I know.
Just came out. On the blog. So I picked that up. Like 250 points? It's like, yeah.
There's the bomb right there. The guys at Hudson Soft sent me a Nerf bomb, basically.
Oh, people were so jealous when they saw mine at my place. They're like, I'm like, no,
it's
give
the
it back.
It's the Bomberman bomb.
Hey,
you know what we got to talk about?
What?
Your TV.
Didn't we do that already?
No, you were going to go pick it up.
I thought we... see, I've lost track of
time. Oh, actually, we did talk about it.
I thought we did. It's still absolutely
working okay?
Amazing. Oh, I am completely in love with this television. It is freaking awesome.
Okay.
Everything looks good on it.
That's right. We did talk about this.
So,
we totally
it's Lithion.
You know what I got?
We should say hi to Lithion.
We did.
Since he's IMing you.
The guys from Mountain Dew sent me the limited edition Halo 3.
Oh, okay. We got to talk about Game Fuel, but keep going.
Game Fuel. Did you see this?
So they... Oh wow! No, I have not seen this.
Yeah, it's basically soda in a box.
It's like it's almost like a shadow box.
It's the press kit.
Nice.
Game Fuel do with an invigorating blast of citrus cherry flavor and other natural flavors.
Now, people were drinking a lot of Game Fuel at my house this past week.
Have you had it?
I've had it. KP brought like I don't know 3 or 4 cases over, and various other people brought some. I don't remember who coined the phrase. It might have been KP, might have been my girlfriend, somebody else, but liquid gummy bears.
Ugh.
It's too sugary for me. It's too sweet. I drink diet sodas because I don't like the taste of sugar.
Right.
This stuff is wow.
Yeah.
Zing!
No, that's what it's supposed to do. It's game fuel.
Yeah.
Your game needs to be charged.
Somebody drank 6 of those in 24 hours. That was not good. I don't recommend you do that. But they look really cool.
Yeah, they look great.
I want a press kit.
Is there a diet one?
No. Diet Game Fuel? That just doesn't even sound right.
Well, you're talking about diet.
Yeah, but diet game... What's the ring of Diet Game Fuel?
Yeah, I know.
So,
and what gamers do you know that are on diets?
Hey, I don't drink it for the diet. Like I said, the taste. Once I got used to artificial sweetener taste, I can't drink drinks with sugar.
What do we have here for games? I'm just looking. I got Tiger Woods.
I played a little more Madden.
I got Two Worlds in.
Have you played it yet?
No. I haven't had a chance. That's co-op, right? We're going to do that in co-op?
That's right. It does have... I'd forgotten about that.
Yep.
I haven't gotten started on Blue Dragon yet. That came out Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right. Blue Dragon.
Or came out in North America on Tuesday. Is it out in Europe already? I know it's been out in Japan for months and months.
It has been.
If it hasn't come out in Europe, it's about to. So I got to put some time into that, but it's all about Halo 3 is almost here.
Yeah, we're going to get ready for that.
So I went and I had lunch with one of the Bungie guys today, just kind of checking on things. So are you ready? Yeah, we're ready. How about you? How many people do you think are going to be online the first day? How many copies are going to sell? And
there's lots of zeros in those conversations.
So lots of zeros. I had a really interesting conversation with some of our MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about all of the marketing.
Was this at PAX?
This was actually a little before PAX in the forums. And just talking about, all the marketing and, is it too much, And the thing I pointed out is look at how big Halo 3 is from a marketing perspective, as that's an endorsement of gaming as, now being culturally relevant.
Yeah.
Gamers are no longer, you don't have to hide the fact that you're a gamer. When there's special Mountain Dews for you and, you've got burger chains doing things and you're seeing ads in the movies and it's just like a big movie premiere.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be big.
So it's just, we've got a month to go. I mean, the IMAX thing. So
oh, yeah,
Bungie did the thing at IMAX. Where,
I blogged about this.
Yeah, so they basically, less than 24 hours notice, they said, hey, we're going to do a special Halo 3 demo at the Seattle IMAX, first come, first serve. You know, we'll kind of show you the single player, the multiplayer, Forge, that kind of stuff. RSVP, but you know, so we have an idea how many people are coming, but just come line up. And the IMAX here holds, I think, like 450, 500 people. They begged the IMAX people. They kept it open so they could do two showings.
Right.
Because like 1,000 people showed up on less than a day's notice.
Well.
I mean, that tells you right there.
Right.
I mean, like, didn't you say some people drove up from Portland?
Yeah, I saw that. I think somebody wrote that on the blog.
Yeah. I mean, it's, wow. Yeah. I mean, people are so excited for this. And they should be.
And they should be.
Yes.
All right, we're going to wrap this up now because the show is now really over.
It's over?
The show is complete. I'm reaching over and I'm pressing stop now.
Well, that would be the...
Ouch.
If you don't drop the recorder, you're going to push stop. Yes.
Say goodbye, E.
Goodbye, E.